This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
So here it is, plus a $5 million fine. He could do all that, and he'd be within his rights to do it based on collective bargaining. But the whole reason that the initial decision goes to a third party is because there was no trust from the players that Roger Goodell wasn't judge, jury, and executioner.
You're listening to the Adam Gold Show on the North Carolina Sports Network.
Very intense music. Very intense music. It's the Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is here. Billy Horschel joins us in about 15 minutes. He's playing at the Wyndham Championship. He's had a pretty good track record there. Did not play last year, but second the year before that. Sixth and 11th in the two previous years. So, I don't know if you're going to, put your money where your mouth is. Billy Ho might not be a terrible place to go. Before we talk to Billy Horschel, number of things I want to get to, but I want to start here. It is golf too, but if you're interested in Billy Horschel, you might be interested in this. Greg Norman sort of made news yesterday or 2 days ago in an interview with Tucker Carlson. I guess it was aired yesterday in Fox News. Tucker was up at the a final round of the LIV Invitational at Bedminster. And Norman, I guess, confirmed something that he actually said 2 years ago, well, not 2 years ago, 2 months ago, in that Greg Norman was offered between $700 and $800 million to join the LIV Golf
You referring to tour. Tiger?
Yeah, did I say, what did I
you
say?
You said Greg Norman.
Greg Norman was offered, Norman didn't have to be offered that money.
No, he didn't.
Norman says LIV offered Tiger Woods, what a train wreck this is already, between $700 and $800 million to join that tour. Now, Norman had said 2 months ago that Tiger turned down high nine figures for that. Now, I think roughly $750 million qualifies as high nine figures, don't you? Anyway, but
I'd agree.
Norman, in an interview that was conducted at the event with Tucker Carlson, called the PGA Tour a monopoly. He expressed concerns that sponsors dropped some of the top flight players on that tour and talked about growing the game. Here's Norman.
I really don't care, quite honestly. I just love the game of golf so much, and I just want to grow the game of golf. And we at LIV see that opportunity. We at LIV see it not just for the men, but for the women. We at LIV see it for NCAA and younger generations. We at LIV see it as a pathway to opportunities for these kids to experience a new world out there. LIV is the future of golf. And that's a very simple phrase and comment. But LIV is the future of golf because you don't see what we see in the future. You don't see what we want to invest in the future. CSR programs, education programs, all this stuff that's out there that we want to get involved with for golf and growing the game of golf.
All right, that's that. He also, like, some of that stuff I get. I mean, I think LIV is going to do a very similar thing for ladies golf. They already sponsor a lot of ladies golf events. And, I mean, it's great for those women because the money will be more than the money, by a lot, the money that they will earn on this tour or the ladies European tour. But it's just money, right? Just like the men's, whatever they're doing right now, is really just money. The events they're fine. They're golf. I'm not knocking it. I watched. Full disclosure, I have a pretty good friend who's part of the production, the TV production of the LIV Tour. And, like, if you watch, the production values of those golf tournaments, they're excellent. I mean, legitimately excellent. So, I get it. But Greg said that it is the future of golf. I'm not saying he's wrong, okay? In no way am I challenging that, because it may very well be, as long as the money doesn't run out. Because if you had said to Dustin Johnson, he got between $125 and $150 million as a contract to go play for LIV. If you had told Dustin Johnson that that contract would be $20 million a year, mm-hmm. which would be a lot, but more along the lines of something normal, Dustin Johnson would not have done this. No chance. If you had offered Phil Mickelson $20 million a year, which is really what his value is to any golf tour, if it's that, it's probably not that anymore, but you know, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And Dustin Johnson will be in the Hall of Fame too, by the way. Phil wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it. There's just no way that they would have done that if the money wasn't insane, because that's what it is. The money is insane. David Faraday would not have left Golf Channel and NBC if the money he got at LIV wasn't in the neighborhood of $25 million a year for less work. He wouldn't have done it. That's just separating, you know, why they're doing it from what they're saying. It's every single one of them is doing it for money. That's just what they're doing. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Right. And I said this on Twitter the other day. I cannot accept and I do not accept that you are fans of both. I do not think it is possible to be a fan of both. I don't.
How?
Because if you are a fan of LIV, Norman just told you, LIV is the future of golf. They can say what they want. There's no interest at all in the two coexisting. Norman wants the LIV Tour to destroy the PGA Tour. It's been his life's mission since the PGA Tour screwed him over in 1994. He was going to get back. It's not about Jay Monahan. It's not about anything else. If it's about one entity, it's about Tim Fincham, the other commissioner. Norman wants to destroy the PGA Tour. There is no doubt in my mind that is true. And he's got the bankroll right now to do it. Because the money is bottomless. Bottomless. And there are more players coming. There is no doubt when the FedEx Cup is over, there are more players going. And it's going to make people go, oh my, right? There won't be enough to really damage the PGA Tour for now. But 2 years from now, if that money is still going, I do believe that Greg Norman has a point. However, there's a lot to be said about this. I don't want to belabor the point too much. The major championships will have the final say in what this looks like. The Masters may alter their invitations. But the truth is that they don't have to, because there is such a reliance on the world golf rankings that by the time we get to the next major championship, there probably won't be anybody on the LIV Tour in the top 50 in the world. Probably nobody. Dustin Johnson has the best chance to still be in the top 50. I don't think anybody else will be in the top 50, and I think almost everybody will be outside the top 100 by the time we get to the next cutoff point to determine a Masters field. Some of these people are exempt. Patrick Reed's exempt. Brooks Koepka's exempt for a while because his exemptions will run out. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But the majors will take care of itself because the world golf rankings will take care of themselves. But those two tours, the PGA Tour, the European Tour, and the LIV Tour, they won't coexist because the LIV Tour doesn't want to. They absolutely don't. I absolutely understand why the PGA Tour has taken a harder line than the European Tour. I understand why they've done that, because LIV is a threat.
Yeah.
There is, how many times have we said, If Liv was interested in sports radio,
yeah,
come talk to us. Come talk to us. I have never made this a morality play, by the way. I've never made it that because I don't think that's the proper place to have this argument. You can what about anything?
Yeah. I don't know. Tournaments are going to go where the money is.
Yep.
Simple as
that.
They
are. They are.
They're going to go with, and that's all what it comes down to. It's all a money deal.
Athletes. Yeah. Athletes are, you know, that's a lot of it is self-worth. Billy Horschel, we'll talk about it with him when we come back. I want to talk about some other things with Billy, and I'm sure that this whole year has been exhausting for somebody like Billy Horschel. So we'll find out what he's got left, because one more tournament plus the playoffs, Billy Horschel joins us next. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, they want to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it anytime. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Couple of things that did happen today. With breaking news from the NFL at the beginning of the show, right before we started, right before they knew we were going to talk about the Deshaun Watson ruling from yesterday, the NFL handed down their own ruling regarding the Miami Dolphins. Stephen Ross, the owner, was not accused or is not found to have intentionally tanked that season. I guess it was Brian Flores' first season with Miami. And so he did not... The NFL basically let him off the hook for that. They couldn't corroborate Brian Flores' accusation that there was incentivized losing from the Dolphins' front office, but they did ding the Dolphins for tampering with Tom Brady basically for three straight years. So they got the Dolphins for that. Again, it dated back to Brady's last season, before his last season in New England. And remember, there was this rumor that Brady was going to leave Tampa, go into the front office for a year, and then play. Remember, because he was still under contract for one more year. So after the Super Bowl, he was going to go into the front office of the Dolphins, let the contract essentially run out, and then come back to play. Which, of course, that's fine if Tom Brady wanted to do that. And maybe that was the plan all along, but it didn't work out, and the Dolphins lose a first-round pick this year and a third round pick in 2024. So that's what's going on there. And the other thing that happened is that Juan Soto got traded today. Juan Soto gets traded from the Nationals to the Padres for a package of players, but Josh Bell is also in the deal. And, that's a pretty big deal for the Padres, because if you are San Diego, you're going to run out Soto and Tatis and Machado and Josh Bell in the middle of your order, and that is a pretty stout order.
Good luck.
So I mean,
just good luck pitching against that. Have fun. Seriously. I know Tatis has been hurt all season because of a wrist injury, but I know he's been back taking BP. But, yeah, he comes back fresh. Him, Soto, Machado, Bell. Oof.
Look, in baseball, all you have to do is get everything together by playoff time.
Yeah.
Last year, the Atlanta Braves, who were excellent when it mattered the most, the Braves were one game under 500. At the beginning of August, basically right where we are today, they were under 500, caught fire, made some trades, bada boom, get to the postseason and rocked. Absolutely rocked. But, I mean, that's not always going to work. The Nationals had the worst record in the National League the year they won the Super Bowl, the World Series in 2018. And think about this. Think about the people that were in the Nationals lineup when they won the World Series. Scherzer on the mound, Trey Turner, Soto, Harper, Anthony Rendon. All those guys are gone. All of them are gone. That is amazing. All of those guys are gone. So, good trade for the Padres. There's still a couple of really big fish out there. Seattle got involved getting the starting pitcher Castillo from the Reds. Seattle is going to make a run at this. Remember, all you got to do is be great in September and October, and you are all set. Speaking of being great in, well, we'll just say August. That's what Billy Horschel is hoping to do. He's going to play at the Wyndham Championship starting on Thursday. Pride of the University of Florida joins us on the Adam Gold Show. It is an honor, sir. We met about 12 or so years ago. I think you played in a Paul Tesori golf tournament charity event here in Durham way back then. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you? Yeah, I remember that. That was over near Raleigh.
Yep, Briar Creek, which is right on the border between Durham and Raleigh. Welcome back to the Wyndham Championship. I don't believe you were here last year, but you've got good vibes over the last few years. You've been very successful here. Second, I believe, in 2020, right?
Correct, yeah. I've had some success here, especially over the last 5 or 6 years, and I'm excited to be back. It's always been a tournament that I've enjoyed. Mark Grazel, tournament director, and his entire staff do an unbelievable job of putting on a great event. And then the people here in Greensboro and around North Carolina do an unbelievable job of supporting it. So it's always a course that I love playing, Central Country Club, an old Donald Ross golf course. I love old school courses like this. And so, you know, it's just been a great place for me, and I've had a lot of success, and hopefully, you know, this will be the year that I finally can get across the finish line as the winner.
And if you do, it should put you up into the top 10. What kind of an incentive is to be in the top 10 of the FedEx Cup standings? And right now, I believe you're 18th. I don't know if you can get to inside the top 10 with a win, but is that part of the incentive for coming?
Yeah, it is. I think with a win, I can move up to like 7th or 8th. And so it would be great to get in that top 10, you know, be part of that Comcast business, you know, extra money that they give away to the guys who are top 10 at the end of the regular season. And then it puts me in an even better position going into next week and starting the playoffs to be, you know, as high up as I can at the start of East Lake to give myself the best opportunity to hopefully win another FedEx Cup.
That's right. You can join, I believe, Rory McIlroy as a two-time FedEx Cup champion. And Rory, you and Rory are kind of I guess joined a little bit. I want to get to the issue in a little bit. I don't want to start with that. I want to get some other stuff about your year. You won at Memorial. You were second at Bay Hill. These are two of the heritage events, and to an extent, so is this event in Greensboro. It's one of the longest running events on the PGA Tour. You know, this is something that you probably grew up watching.
Yeah, I did. I remember watching this event throughout the years. I remember playing an AJJ event when it used to be over, I believe it was Forest Heights here.
Yeah, I think Forest Heights, right?
Yep, and Brant Snedeker won there, I believe, 07 or when he got his first title. So, yeah, I've watched this event. It's it really is a historic event. When you look at the names who've won it, you know, to be able to add my name next to Sam Snead, who's a legend in this game of golf, would be, you know, that would be unbelievable to be associated with him in this tournament. So it's a great tournament. I wish we would have even more of the top guys around the country and around the world come play. But obviously I know where it falls in the schedule, so it makes it a little bit tougher. But like I said, it's, you know, there's not many guys that come here that don't walk away and rave about this event.
Yeah, it's a great golf course. I remember I came out there, and I'll be out there on Thursday. I came out the year Tiger played. He was trying to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs, and his back was still bothering him. And I swear that was the year that the Wyndham became a major. I've never seen crowds. I don't know if you played in that year, but he was tied for the lead going to Saturday. I was out there on the Friday, and it was like eight deep around the first tee for the Wyndham. It was absolutely tremendous. The schedule came out yesterday, and there are 44 events on the PGA Tour again for next year. Where do you stand on the length of the season? 52 weeks in the year, 44 events. That's a lot. I know you don't play all of them, but what is your take on the length of the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, for a majority of my career, I've always tried to get across to the PGA Tour that a shorter schedule would be more beneficial to the PGA Tour, be more beneficial to the players, to the fans. You know, we could take more time off, and the fans would sort of have that, you know, after a couple months of no golf being played, they want that golf. They want that. They can't wait for golf to come back. It's no different than football and college football the way it is now. I mean, we haven't had any football for, you know, 5-6 months now, and now everyone's really gearing up because we know college football is a month away. NFL football is, you know, 6 weeks away. So everyone's excited about that. So we could somehow duplicate that with golf would be, I think, be beneficial. But I also understand at the same time that the tour's job is to create financial opportunities in golf tournaments for its members. And, you know, they've done a great job of that throughout the history. And, you know, I think we're fortunate enough that we have a lot of sponsors around not only the U.S. but around the world that want to be a part of the PGA Tour. And it's pretty tough to turn sponsors away that are willing to offer up a lot of money and where guys can, you know, reap the financial rewards of that.
One of the things I've always liked about you, Billy Horschel is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show, is that you are willing to play overseas. I remember watching, I think it was last year, the BMW PGA, which is essentially their top, you know, domestic European event. I remember watching you win that, and I know that was a big deal to you. But you mentioned college football. So you got to be sick and tired of all the Georgia guys on tour, especially after last year.
Yeah, you know what? They're pretty good. They you know, they don't give me too much of a hard time. I mean, Brian Harman's probably the worst, but you know, Brian Harman's a good friend of mine, so he likes to put the needle in a little bit and really turn it, especially when Georgia's doing well. But yeah, you know, we do talk about it. We talk about our teams, and then obviously when the Florida Georgia game gets played, it's interesting sort of 3 weeks, the week before leading up to it, or the week and a half leading up to it, and the week after, because whoever wins, you know, it's going to be the other side's going to, you know, they're going to have a lot of stuff coming towards their way from the winning team.
All right, let me ask you, I'll get to where you almost led me a couple of minutes ago. This has to have been an exhausting year for you, for Rory McIlroy, for Justin Thomas. Because it seems like you guys have really carried the public weight of the PGA Tour against what is going on with the LIV Golf Tour. What are your thoughts on where we are? Are you tired? Are you worried?
Am I tired talking about it? No. I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. I understand it's in the game of golf, and that's what people want to discuss right now. And so I have no, you know, issue ever discussing it, and I'm very open about, you know, what I say. You know, what I say behind closed doors is what I say out in public. Am I worried about the game of golf? I think the game of golf is in a great place. Do I think LIV is going to add and make the game of golf better? No. Do I think 54 hole events, no shotgun starts, no cuts, you know, sort of that guarantee, that safety net that you're always going to make a paycheck, that you already signed a big contract. Do I think that's great for the game of golf? No. I mean, I'm old school in the sense that I think golf is so great in the sense that you earn what you make. You know, I know we're different than other sports, and other sports sign a lot of massive contracts, so they're guaranteed money, you know, for X amount of years, and that's the way they always have done things. But golf is really cool in the sense that if you played really well that year, you get financially rewarded. If you don't, you don't get financially rewarded. But like I said, I mean, I don't fault any of those guys that went. They made a decision that was best for them. They play the game of golf for a different reason than I play the game of golf. You know, money's not the number one reason why I play the game of golf. You know, I'm here to try and make a name for myself so my name can be remembered, you know, throughout the history of the game of golf. That's why I grew up playing the game of golf. When I was a junior, I never thought about, you know, I'm going to go make millions of dollars on the PGA Tour. You know, I talked about, man, I really want to win the Bay Hill event, the Arnold Palmer event. I really want to win the Memorial like Tiger did. You know, I want to win majors. That's what I grew up wanting. That's, you know, what I still want to this day. But I do understand the financial side is how I do, you know, make my living. And that's obviously the benefit of playing this game of golf, but it's not my number one focus or main reason playing. So, like I said, I don't fault those guys for going, you know, they made a decision that's best for them and everything. But the only thing I've always said is that don't say you did it because, you know, you want to spend more time with your family. You're wanting to shorten your schedule up. You know, you could do that easily out here on the PGA Tour. You only have to play 15 events out here. You know, and that, if you look at it, you play 15 events and that includes four majors. And then on the lift side, you play 14 events and you add in the four majors, that's 18 events. You're actually playing more than what you have to do on the PGA Tour. So, like I said, we could go into this a lot deeper and everything, but I just don't like the guys that have went, that have, you know, sort of thrown mud at the PGA Tour where they've made a name and they've made a lot of money and made millions. And there's people behind the, you know, behind the doors that have allowed them to be successful that people don't know about that work hard at the PGA Tour. So, you know, the PGA Tour is going to be strong. We've got unbelievable sponsors. We've got unbelievable product. We've got players that love being out here. We've got kids coming from college that want to be a part of the PGA Tour that grew up, you know, dreaming about being on the PGA Tour and winning tournaments. So the PGA Tour is going to be fine. I have no doubt about that.
Billy Horschel, I appreciate your honesty. I'm a fan. Can't believe you haven't played on a national team. We're going to take care of that this year at the President's Cup.
Yeah.
Good luck to you this week. I hope you win it, and I look forward to seeing you soon. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good. See you.
Take care. Billy Horschel. Playing at the Wyndham Championship. Like, if I had started there, Billy might have gone off for 10 minutes by himself. We might not have ever talked about the Wyndham Championship. Billy Horschel, I think a guy worth rooting for. And we could have gone a number of ways off that, but Billy's got things to do. He's got range balls to hit. He's got putts to roll. It all starts on Thursday. I'm actually going out this Thursday and Friday. Hayes Permo will be doing the show.
3 foot putt.
There you go. Billy's got to sink more than that. But Hayes will be here Thursday and Friday. I'm going out on Thursday to watch and cover the first round. They have a very good field. I don't know how much better it would be. Patrick Reed would have probably been here because Reed is a past champion. Sergio Garcia would have been here because Sergio Garcia is a past champion. It's a great event. Davis Love's playing this week.
Nice.
I mean, he's 54 years old at this point, but he won it, I believe, in his 50s. I think he was already Champions Tour eligible when he won it a few years ago. If not, he was almost Champions Tour eligible, but it's a really good event. I think they like the spot where it's the last event in the regular season before the playoffs. So thanks to Billy Horschel for coming on. Let's get to halftime.
Davis Love won it in 2015.
So, okay, so, gosh, it was that long ago?
Yeah.
There are certain things that seem like they were forever ago, and it was 2 years ago. And there are certain things, I'm like, I could have sworn it was like 3 years.
Nope,
gosh,
sorry.
2015. So Love was like 47 years old. What is he, 54 now?
I don't know. Not entirely sure. But I know who's 52 today, and that's Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith turns 52 today.
Gosh. He looked pretty good. He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. Especially since several years ago. Not too long ago, he had that big heart attack.
He lost Silent Bob. He lost Jay.
Yeah, he lost Jay.
He lost Jay.
Yeah. He actually lost a lot of weight. And actually, he talked about over the last few years, actually, he switched over to being vegan as a way to continue to stay healthy.
Whoa, very good. I know people who have gone vegan. I probably need to.
Our good friend, my Colts Today co-host, Chris Lee, also vegan.
Is he really?
He is.
All right, we're going to talk to Chris in about 45 minutes.
I know. That's why I bring him up. Yeah. So congratulations to Kevin Smith, 52 years old. Glad he's still around. So I don't think you watch Stranger Things season four. I don't think you did.
No.
Okay, that's fine. Well, a song heavily featured in the show in season four, Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush, has gotten a lot of airtime, got a lot of screenplay because of the popularity of the show and how great the season was. Kate Bush is estimated to have earned $2.3 million in streaming royalties since the show was released, season four. $2.3 million in royalties for Kate Bush just for that song that came out in the 80s.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome.
Good for her.
And like, here's the thing. The show only came out a couple months ago. Or season four, I should say.
There's sort of a... like, the music industry has suffered based on that, right? Because there's so much streaming and downloading of music that, you know, a lot of artists struggle to get all of the worth out of their work. So, good for Kate Bush, man. Cash in.
So, it used to be back in the music industry before there was streaming, what was called just spins. So, it was a number of plays that you would get on a radio and, like, how many you're... the outreach and all that stuff of what you get. So number of spins mattered. Well, the amount of money that artists receive per play, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever it may be, the payout per play or per spin isn't really that high.
Right.
So the fact that she's got $2.3 million in royalties when you're making not maybe, what, 10 cents a play? Crazy to think.
It's a lot of plays.
It's a ton.
It's a lot of plays.
It's a ton. So I want to play this cut of audio from you. This is actually, we talked about earlier about how the San Diego Padres have acquired Juan Soto.
Yes.
And Josh Bell from the Washington Nationals. Well, this happened yesterday during the Padres game when they were playing the Minnesota Twins. So Dylan Bundy, member of the Minnesota Twins, was sitting in the dugout, and while he was, let's say, caught picking his nose in the Bally Sports San Diego Padres broadcast, some fun with it.
Cameras on you all the time.
Yep, here's the sound of that.
Foul back off to the right, and it's 1-1.
Oh, yeah, get in there. Oh, yeah, couple knuckles. Wow. Yeah, there you go.
It's extensive.
Yeah. $50 says a kid's going to eat it.
Oh, man.
High drive, deep left field. And that ball is gone. A home run.
So, yeah, right after they call it, literally home run gets hit by Minnesota. The timing was great. Now, obviously, there's the reference that was made there.
Shouts. Who's the analyst? Because Don Orsillo is the play-by-play guy for the Padres.
Mark Grant.
Mark Grant is the analyst, and he dropped the Caddyshack reference.
Say, $50, the Smales kid picks his nose. Okay.
Got it. All right.
Come on, buddy.
Don't do it. Don't.
Go. Here you come. All right, kid, take your time. Now, don't do it. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
You know that.
I'll tell you what, $50 more says he eats. You're on.
Don't do it, kid. Yeah, the kid will eat anything.
That is unbelievable. What a great.
But here's the thing. It was unquestioned. It was a pick. Definitely was not a scratch.
Definitely
was not a scratch.
Well, every day for the past 4 days, she hasn't returned one call.
Was it a scratch or a pick?
It was a scratch.
Hey, it's me.
Don't you think I know the difference between a pick and a scratch?
Was there any nostril penetration?
There may have been some incidental penetration, but from her angle, she was in no position to make the call.
So let's say, in her mind, she witnessed a pick. Okay, so then what?
Is that so unforgivable? Is that like breaking a commandment? Did God say to Moses, thou shalt not pick?
I guarantee you, Moses was a picker. You wander through the desert for 40 years with that dry air? You telling me you're not going to have occasion to clean house a little, huh?
Gosh.
So, yeah, definitely just, a pick, not a scratch.
Just phenomenal. My gosh. Man, somebody's always watching, dude.
Yeah.
Dylan Bundy, somebody's always watching.
I love that. It's okay. You can tell me. It's me.
It's me.
Like, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
All right. Into some, like, newsy stuff here real
fast.
All right.
Fast. We got newsy stuff.
We do. So, Amazon obviously has Thursday Night Football, but Amazon's going to allow for bars and restaurants that have DirecTV to still air those Thursday games. So, if you do ever
want to. So, no homes. Homes that have DirecTV, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Bars and restaurants are okay.
Exactly. All bars and restaurants are good to go.
Whatever.
Bars and restaurants are good to go. But also, Amazon, for some games, is going to have a second screen experience, much like the Manning cast did with ESPN. So I believe Kirk Herbstreit has signed on to do some games as well, I believe.
Well, he's doing the Thursday night games with Al Michaels.
Oh, that's right. He is. Never mind. I take that back. So he is doing the analyst play. But I know that the guys from Dude Perfect are going to sign on for, like, a series of games. I'm not sure exactly how many they're going to do, but my guess is they're going to keep it in rotation for the throughout the season. And there's also been rumors floating around that Pat McAfee and his crew would actually do a second screen experience.
That would be good.
As a watch-along, I guess you can say. So they're going to have these alternate broadcasts. But, yeah. Kirk Herbstreit obviously is going to do a set of games. But, yeah, the guys from Dude Perfect are going to be doing an alternate broadcast. And it also appears maybe potentially Pat McAfee and those guys are in discussion as well. All right, last little bit here. I know since you're a huge soccer fan, the UEFA Champions League rights are actually coming up here in the United States, or coming up in a couple of years. So right now, CBS has the rights to them.
Yes.
But the next bidding rights are going to begin the 24-25 campaign.
I'll be surprised if ESPN doesn't go hard after that.
Well, right now, CBS has control. Amazon and CBS apparently are the two front runners right now. So CBS is going to look at, I'm sorry, UEFA is going to look at maybe either a three-year bid or a six-year bid. And their goal apparently for the three-year bid, I'm sorry, over 6 years would be $2 billion. So you're looking at,
man,
$330 million roughly per year, which is more than the $150 million currently being paid per year by CBS and Univision. So UEFA has discussed the Champions League rights, again, with the usual suspects here in the U.S., but the favorite rights holders now are CBS and Amazon. Amazon has struck a deal with UEFA for Champions League rights in the U.K., starting in 2024. So Amazon has the rights over in the United Kingdom for UEFA Champions League. So that might be their end to carry it here in the United States.
I'm totally, they're speaking my language now, man.
Yeah. But CBS wants to keep to have a soccer inventory because they have rights with the NWSL right now. A lot of those games are on Paramount Plus. They have Serie A over in Italy, as well as some other CONCACAF team matches, and they have some other things up in, you know, Scotland, Brazil, Argentina.
ESPN has Bundesliga and La Liga. It would be good for them if Barcelona came back, right? Like, legitimately came back.
Yeah.
Of course, they have a little bit of an uphill climb financially, but I'm sure they would also like Champions League.
Yeah.
But I've watched what they have matches on ESPN Plus, like the second division of English football. They show those games on ESPN Plus.
They do. So,
like,
it's interesting to find where all this is going to end up.
I'll watch. My son is, like, so mad at me
because you watch so much.
Because I watch more soccer than he does. He's mad.
That's okay.
Flat mad.
That's fine.
It's like, Dad, you've been a fan for 7 months. Stop it. Like,
so, yeah,
I can't help it.
I'm wondering, because ESPN has paid so much money for La Liga and those and Bundesliga,
yeah,
maybe they just don't have a place to put all of it.
I mean, you still get Real, you still get Barcelona, you still get Bayern, you still get Dortmund. And there's an American playing at Dortmund, there's an American playing at Barcelona, Sergiño Dest. I mean, sort of American. I mean, he's born in the Netherlands.
Not sure.
Sort of American.
We'll go with that.
But yeah, they're Americans playing overseas, so that's all right.
All right, that's all I got today.
Over the crossbar! have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts. Before we get to wagers, I was sort of right about Davis Love, and here's why I say that.
Okay.
My thought was, man, it was like just after he became Champions Tour eligible that he won, because I thought that was talked about when he won the Wyndham back, as you said, in 2015. So I thought he was 54. He's not 54. He's 58.
Oh.
So he was actually 51 years old in 2015. When he won the Wyndham Championship, it was his first win in 7 years on the PGA Tour. It had been a while.
Okay.
And so Love won there. And so he was 51 years old. So I was sort of right. I just can't believe that it's 7 years ago that is when it happened. Just feels like it was like 3 years ago, but it was seven. With that said, want to place bets?
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you nothing.
I was this close. Watford and, who did Watford play? Sheffield United yesterday?
Yeah.
I went ahead with a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Sheffield United had chances late, and Watford held on 1-0 at Sheffield. I'm bummed about that. I think it was at Sheffield. I was bummed about that. Francisco Lindor, I've thought about going with runs batted in as opposed to runs scored, but runs scored was a higher value. He had a three-run homer but only scored one run. I was that close. That close, Dennis.
Shame.
Yeah.
Real shame. Yo, I was this close. I was one run
from
away
your
from my parlay.
Which
the Astros.
Which team?
They lost to the Red Sox 3-2.
They were leading 2-1 late.
I know.
2-1, I think, in the seventh inning.
Yeah. I got
baseball's
Dodgers
tough,
right.
Man.
I got Padres right. I got the Mets right. Yeah. No, the Astros.
Mets are.
Once again, that was plus 460. But I did call Anthony Rizzo hitting a home
he
run
did.
At plus 360 yesterday. So I was still plus 260 for the day.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Feels
all right.
Good.
Give us a start.
All right. I'm going to go Champions League qualifier because why not?
All right.
Monaco versus PSV Eindhoven.
Uh-huh. Good.
Draw plus 270.
Draw plus. Is this first leg or second leg?
Yes.
Very good. Good for you. I am staying away from soccer. I'm in a little bit of a soccer lull here.
Okay.
I'm going to wait until we get closer to the start. Premier League starts on Friday. Tomorrow, remember, I'm not here Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow, I might load up on Premier League wagers.
There you go.
I might completely load up on that. All right, Mets, Nationals. It's Jacob DeGrom day. I don't think DeGrom is going to pitch all that long today.
Okay.
I think he probably goes 5 innings. But I'm going to take DeGrom to get 8 or more strikeouts and the Mets to win at plus 190.
All right. You know, one thing I can't bet on is Juan Soto hitting a home run
right?
today.
Or Josh Bell.
Or Josh Bell.
They're both involved in a lot of parlays and a lot of prop bets.
The over plus 100 million.
Yeah.
That's what that's going to be. But give me Manny Machado, whose new team made a home run at plus 360.
Plus 360 Machado. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying with the Mets and the Nationals.
Of course you are.
You know what the pattern has been over Jacob DeGrom's career with the Mets is that they don't score runs when he pitches.
Okay.
Under 6.5 runs for the Mets at plus 170.
Okay. All right, then.
Under 6.5 runs. Actually, I think it's combined under 6.5 runs. Not just Mets.
All right.
Plus 170.
Yankees play the Mariners, 7:05 first pitch.
Uh-huh.
Yankees minus a run and a half is a plus 125.
Nice.
I'll take that.
All right.
I think they'll win by two against the Mariners.
Sure. You're not. Well, Mariners, I think Mariners are good. You're not doing a 47-team parlay in baseball today?
No. No.
You should do that.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll change it up. You make your third bet. I'm going to rework mine. Give me your third bet.
All right. I'm staying with the Mets and the Nationals today.
Of course you are.
I have tunnel vision.
Of course.
I say no home run is hitting the game.
Okay.
A Mets-Nationals game with no home runs at plus 275. Home run free tonight at plus 275. Soto homered last night.
He did.
In his final game with the Nationals. And then Lindor, I think that made it 4-3 Mets when Soto homered. I think that was the bottom of the sixth. And then Lindor hit a three-run home run to make it 7-3 in the top of the seventh. And we couldn't get Lindor around again the next time he came up. So I ended up losing that bet. So those are my three wagers. Oh, under 6.5 runs. DeGrom, 8 strikeouts, and the Mets to win, and no home runs. Those are my three.
All right, here's what I'm going with.
Okay.
Padres in game one of their doubleheader against the Rockies, win.
Uh-huh.
Yankees versus Mariners, win.
Right.
Braves versus Phillies, win.
Ooh, that's an NL East battle.
Twins versus Tigers, win. Cardinals versus Cubs, win. Astros over the Red Sox, win. So 6 legs. 6-leg parlay.
What is that, like plus 520?
Plus 1060.
Oh! I hope you win.
I hope so, too.
I hope you do it.
Oh, gosh. If the Astros screw me again, I'm done. This is the reason why I didn't choose the Blue Jays to win, because they've already screwed me once.
It's long parlays. I think I sort of advised you yesterday. Baseball, it's a weird sport to do, man. It's a weird sport to do.
You just got to have a hit once.
I like if you take like 3 or 4 big favorites in the NFL just to win outright.
Yeah.
You can, your parlay odds can kind of bring you through.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.